Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
From restaurant openings and discounts on bars and hotels to beauty and fashion offers, Sheerluxe partners with London's best venues, suppliers and brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. And this month, we're offering new annual sign-ups a free 111 Skin Space Antioxidant Booster worth £85. Or trial VIP and get 2 months free access using the code VIPX2 at checkout. For more information, visit sheerluxevip.com.
Welcome to the Sheerluxe Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Lou Half, and Becky Hull. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I feel like I start most podcasts these days with, really sorry if I sound worse for wear. But last night was my Sheerluxe hen, so I do feel pretty shit. Actually, yeah, it was so much fun.
It was so much fun. We had a few drinks here with a surprise guest, and then we went to the New Archer Street on Northcote Road, which is very well known in Soho for being a really fun night out, like good cheesy music, but it's still like quite a classy bar.
Normally for cheesy music you have to go somewhere with like a sticky carpet.
And it was exactly that, and it was so much fun. I think all the waiters are singers, so every like fourth song they will suddenly jump on the table and belt out a banger. And it was just really good fun, wasn't it?
Can we just go back to the special guest for one
minute? I wasn't sure you wanted to delve into
I was really nervous that there was going to be a stripper. Do you know, because it's just really hard to react. You've got to like contain your normal reactions, and then there's Rich. I'm like, how am I going to style this out and look like I'm okay with this with Rich filming it? But it wasn't a stripper, thankfully. It was a butler in the bath. And he was a nice guy.
He was very charming.
Yeah. Tom, lovely man.
Yeah. So I feel like if you are looking for something in between, like not stripper, but also quite jokes, humiliation that the hen can contend with.
Yes.
Butler in the bath is the
perfect answer. Also work appropriate.
Yes. I don't think that's work appropriate in that many offices. I think that's just it. But yeah, it was a really fun night, and I really recommend Archer Street.
Yeah, so I do so fun. Much. I never actually celebrated my 30th, and I rang one of my best friends on the way home and was like, I think we should do my 30th. Like 2 years late, and we're going to do it at Archer Street.
I also feel like I never just go out for a boogie anymore.
No.
I know that makes me sound like 105.
There needs to be an occasion these days.
I think you kind of gear up for a big night out, and then it's always a letdown, and I don't really do that anymore because I spent so many years doing it that I'm just over it. But it was so nice to have something quite unexpected.
Yeah. Has anyone else got any places that they go for a good dance?
Brighton. Do you do that kind of thing in Brighton?
I was literally about to say, I mean, I feel like I haven't been out dancing in ages either, because Brighton's cool, but everyone looks about 12 now when you go out. So it's just like, how has that happened?
I don't really go out in Brighton, because the good thing about it is that there are just loads of pubs. Apparently there's more pubs per capita than almost anywhere else in the country. Loads of really proper good old boozers with fireplaces. So you just kind of end up stuck in there, and it's a very different vibe. And then, yeah, there's a great music scene as well. So it's a good club scene in terms of music. But actually just going out for a nice dance at somewhere that's not sort of Reflex or Flares or
a themed bar,
it's quite difficult.
I find that problem in London generally. Like whenever you're in New York, you can go out for dinner and the restaurants are like buzzy and clubby without being a club. And in London, there's no happy medium like that. You either go out for dinner or you like go to a club or go to a bar. Totally. But there's nowhere to just kind of spontaneously have a nice night.
And then also have that bit where you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm into this or not. If you're going to go to a club, you're going to
a club. You're committing.
So it was really nice like to be there and like, you know, having drinks that can kind of turn into however much of a night that you want it
and
to.
And that's actually probably why it was so fun.
Exactly.
Because there was no pressure.
You can dip in and out.
Exactly.
So the bar, I've remembered it, in Brighton, it's called Casablanca.
Oh God, I used to live like 5 doors down from it and never used to get any sleep because it's open until 5 a.m.
It is. And the thing is, it's not fancy and it's not what you'd be like, oh, it's a swanky night out, but it's just cool. Hall is like nice place okay, yeah, to go for live jazz music, and it's quite low key.
And you can have a biggie.
Can have a little
biggie. The whole street looks awful just as a heads up, yeah, but don't be put off when you go in. It's, no. Yeah, they've always got a live band playing while
and a great
there.
Bar, yeah.
Good cocktails. It is fun, and yeah, it's open really late if you want a big
all
one.
Really fun. Okay, let's rather pertinently talk about alcohol trends. For the summer, we wrote a piece on the hottest drinks for summer 2019 and included everything from exotic gins, flavoured spirits, and CBD, which apparently infuses everything that we do these days, doesn't it? So I want to know, what are your summer drinks of choice, Becky?
Pimm's. Is that really basic? I do love Pimm's.
What do you put in your Pimm's? What is your magic?
Just like a lot of fruit. And you know they always say you can only use strawberries, cucumber. I think you could put a bit of everything in. It doesn't need to just be your basics that are on the back of the Pimm's bottle. But I do love a cold glass of Pimm's.
I also love a Pimm's. The other day I had a, I'm going to say it wrong, Caiprina.
Caiprina.
My God, yeah. It was so good.
Insane.
But I think they're quite lethal because the lime and the sugar kind of in flavour counteracts the alcohol. And I couldn't really taste it and yep. Literally went down very quickly. So yeah, I'm not normally that experimental actually with my drinks, but we've got a new one on the cards.
Sounds great.
And what about you?
I do like a really good G&T. I do.
It's not really a summer tip.
No. No, but I feel like there's so many different places now that are just doing it differently that you can kind of experiment a bit. I do like a gin mare with the olives in, like rosemary. That's good. I just really like beer, to be honest. So a very nice beer in a hot beer garden for me just does the trick. I know it's not very exciting. But
how are you on cider?
Used to be a big cider fan, but just used to drink obscene amounts of it at festivals. And since then, I've kind of just associated it with really hot, sweaty or rainy, muddy festivals. Yeah. So I've kind of put that in my past slightly. Because they always tend to be lukewarm as well.
But yeah. There's a pub in Bristol called the Corrie Tap, and they do a cider called Exhibition. And I think it's like double strength cider, and it is lethal.
In Bristol, there's that sort of barge or the boat that's got a pub.
Yeah,
floating pub. Yeah, I've had some very strong cider in there before. That was also on a hot summer's day. And yeah, nice cold cider, but you don't realise it's 10%. Kind of leads to an interesting afternoon.
There's got to be a very specific set of circumstances, but like a really ice cold Corona.
Yeah,
I really hit the spot
with a little lime in.
I did actually. It was like a Modelo,
or even a Sol. As long as it's really cold, you know. If you've just like arrived on a holiday, you've had like a long hot journey, and you like just get to your destination, that's when like an ice cold beer really, really hits
very
the spot.
True.
Yeah, but I spend a lot of time in Spain, in Mallorca, and so white wine sangria is my.
Oh my god! Of course.
Yeah, it's my drink of choice. For me, it's just less sickly than Pimm's, but you get all the fun of all the fruit, and yeah, I prefer a wine based beverage.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. I'd forgotten about white sangria. Yeah. Big in Barcelona.
Well, that is Spain.
That is Spain.
Aperol. We haven't even talked about
Aperol. I'm over Aperol.
Oh, yeah. Did you drink too much?
Yeah, I think it used to be like really fun, and now I just...
It's a bit basic bitch now, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it could be described as such. That's not why. I don't like it. I think, yeah, maybe I just OD'd on it a few summers ago, and now it is quite sweet. I just prefer a very bitter Negroni, but that's not a very affordable thing to sip throughout a...
And I find that quite wintry as well. Yeah. That's like, I want that with a fire.
Right.
I can't stand them. I love Prosecco, but the Aperol, I just
I never used to like it. It's only been probably in the last year that I was suddenly like, oh, this is absolutely delicious.
It's weird. Like, my best friend loves it. I just can't get on board with
it. Maybe you haven't had a good one.
I think being cold is the key, isn't it? Yeah. You know, when I had some the other day, I had to fish ice out of the ice bucket for the Prosecco to put it in. Yeah. It's just like, that one was warm. It was like a sweaty Aperol.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, if they've sort of been sitting around, not nice. No. Not fresh.
Well, I loved in this piece suggestions that originals with a twist about Heather, you're like this, that putting fun things like herbs, citrus, spices, pea shoots or coriander to things like a gin and tonic.
Yes.
Can we mix it up?
Yeah.
Interesting. Have you tried that?
Yeah,
coriander.
It just makes it more savoury, which is my kind of vibe.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. That's great if you don't like something too sickly sweet. And then we also got some recommendations from various spirit experts for some recipes. One of them recommended a vermouth spritz, rosé vermouth soda and topped with a dry sparkling wine like a Cremant.
Hello. Ooh,
that's right up my street.
Side of Olives and Dream of the Riviera.
Oh god, yes, yes, that is right on my street.
Also, I love how we're all suddenly back into alcohol. We're suddenly like, yes, I can get back on the alcohol.
An hour ago, I was like, I'm never drinking again.
What you've just read out there has just reminded me that I also really like a port and tonic as well.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, like I mean, that's vermouth and tonic. It's big in Portugal, but they were big again over here last year. They're very nice.
It's got to be really bitter. That's
I think that's the key thing. Yes. Yeah, they are bitter, but very nice if anyone fancies a long drink.
I'd be smashed off my face. Yeah, I would. Another one that I liked in this mix was a new take on an old-fashioned where they included things like elderflower, lemon and Prosecco.
Oh, no, I don't like
no,
elderflower.
No, of course you don't. No.
Really? Oh, I love elderflower. Well, if you do want more summer drinks inspo, then do have a look at the piece on the side. All this talk of summer leads us quite nicely into holiday chat. We read a piece on how to avoid hidden holiday costs, because whether it's falling victim to extra charges or being ripped off when it comes to a car rental, there are a lot of hidden expenses when it comes to travelling. Lou, you fell prey to this recently.
Oh my God, yes. So probably my own fault, but we booked a flight from Stansted Airport with Ryanair to Pisa. I live in southeast London, so the trek to Stansted, the £55 air fee seemed enticing at the time, but when you add an hour and a half taxi first thing in the morning, that gets expensive. Then when we arrived at the airport, we had hand luggage only, went to go and get on the plane, and then we were then told that you had to pay £20 if you wanted to bring a carry-on bag that wasn't your handbag, basically. So they all now only allow handbags as your hand luggage on the plane. And we had to pay £20 then for our bags. We were then told to then upgrade to priority on the way back, which meant then you get two bags. And it was literally just like
charge after charge.
And it was so frustrating.
The one that I think is the most outrageous is that some airlines, if you haven't pre-printed your boarding pass, Ryanair will charge you £55 to check in at the airport.
That's shocking.
And £25 to print the boarding card at the airport. And I think
Plus,
£55 to check in and £25 to print their boarding card. And also, I'm pretty sure EasyJet do also have
something if you haven't checked in online.
Yeah.
The other thing as well is seats. So if you don't select your seat, and the seats, they say are like from £4, but they're not, they're from £15. So if you randomly allocate your seats, if you're with a two, you'll never be put together. Mm. You'll be one of yous at the front and one of yous at the back. So then you have to then pay to change your seats. Another fee. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I fly EasyJet quite a bit and they are quite good. I never pay for kind of the seats or anything like that. And I have the EasyJet app, so you can just check in and you get the mobile boarding pass on your phone. So you don't have to pay, you don't have to print anything out. And if you do check in together, they do seat you next to each other free of charge. I think that Ryanair do that. It's just absolutely shocking.
Yeah, that's cool. And also, I have had this with Ryanair before when I literally flew to Ireland. It was ridiculous. And they make it's so difficult to do anything on their site that you end up just paying the extra because it's such a stressful
experience. I'm sure it's on the website. I'm sure it's designed to do that.
Yeah, it must be designed to do that. And I had a similar thing with the seats. It was just a complete balls up and we ended up paying so much just to sit together. Yeah. It was crazy.
I think we paid an extra £200 on top of what we had originally paid.
So first things first, you're taking a flight and you're booking a flight. Anyone got any tips for making that more cost effective or how to avoid the hidden fees? We talked about going incognito.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think even when you're booking, I would always sort the flights by price. So ideally think you want to get the cheapest one. But then I think look at what time that flight is. Is that going to be too early that you are going to have to get a taxi and what that taxi cost would be, where it is, how much it's going to be to get there, whether you're getting the Gatwick Express or Heathrow or anything like that. So I think just work out what those pre-travel charges will be.
Definitely, because
I think often that can add up much more than you expect.
Heather?
I definitely kind of look for the cheapest ones. I'm more often than not, I'll be on like the earliest flight and the latest return, sort of to maximise wherever I'm going time-wise as well, but just because I'd rather save some money. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, I live in Brighton and I usually fly from Gatwick and there's trains almost throughout the night. So I'm quite lucky. I can use my normal sort of rail pass that I used to get to work to get on the train.
And so would you only fly from Gatwick?
I try to where possible. When I went to Marseille a couple of weeks ago, the flight was delayed a little bit and I was at Gatwick at midnight. But yeah, if I'd have missed a train, I'd have had to wait for 1 o'clock and, you know, it's all the ongoing stuff. So yeah, if you did then have to factor in a taxi ride as well, it can be risky.
It's in the piece, but also Skyscanner. I'm sure everybody's heard of it, but it is really helpful and has saved me many expensive flights. And also, just as we were saying about the boarding passes, we had, when we went to Barcelona, my auntie, sorry to name and shame, she forgot to bring all the printed out boarding passes. And we were so lucky because actually at Gatwick, they have printers where you can do it, but you did find out that you can get charged at some places. So let's hope Gatwick don't change the rules anytime soon.
I actually have a hack for Gatwick that is the opposite of saving money. It costs a bit of money, but it's absolutely game changing. So I often take like a Friday night flight from Gatwick in the middle of the summer, which is hell on earth. But for security, the queues can often be like an hour long. There is a machine just outside the entrance to security in, I think, the North Terminal. I'm guessing they have it in both, where you can pay £5 to fast track security. For me, it is those little things. You can get through security. It's like an hour versus 5 minutes. It is so quick, so much more civilized. For the sake of a fiver, personally, I'd rather like not have a coffee that morning and
I'd pay a fiver to do that.
Yeah. It makes such a difference. I cannot recommend it enough. Yeah,
security
it really
is so stressful at Gatwick as
Lucian have the same as well, actually.
I'm not an angry person, but I feel like my most stress when I'm in a queue for security, just watching people messing around, trying to put their things or just not putting their things in the right.
It's a classic.
Rules are so clear, and then they're going through like, oh, your laptop's not out, or why have you got loads of change in your pocket? Yeah. Or just everything.
There's definitely like a comedy sketch to be had about airports. 100%.
People who still like wear their belts. It's like,
it annoys me so much. Yeah. Get irrationally angry at everyone. So yeah, if I could avoid that, I'd pay a fiver.
Okay, other hidden costs and charges. We talked about renting cars, using comparison sites, but also, you know, every time you go to pay for something on holiday and it asks you whether you want to pay in your own currency or the local currency, and you should always go local, right? That is the advice. And we also talked about using a Monzo card or similar, Revolut. These cards that don't charge FX fees are amazing. Do you guys use them?
I know I've banged on about Monzo loads, but again, it's just one of the best things. When you're traveling abroad, you don't get charged any of the fees, and again, you can see immediately how much you've spent because it comes up on your phone in pounds, so you can kind of get to grips with the currency quite quickly, like how much you're spending and what you're actually being charged. I just think it makes a real difference.
I don't have Monzo, but you have properly sold it to me along with a few other people. So
I've got a card. We'll both get a fiver if you use it.
And now you pay for security.
Yeah. Winning all round.
And another thing as well is never buy currency at the airport because it is such a rip-off.
Yeah, completely agree.
You'd be better off just drawing cash out at a cash machine in the country when you arrive.
It's much cheaper to do that.
Yeah. On earth.
Just be prepared. In my old job, I was slightly more central. And on Money Saving Expert, you can find the currency exchange that on any one day has the best possible rates for the currency that you need. So I used to do that. I remember there's one on the Strand that always offers really good exchange rates.
Also, I think the online rates are always cheaper. I often get my currency from Debenhams, and if you check it online first and then screenshot that, and then take that in store and show them, they'll give you the rate that you saw.
Similar with M&S too. I think M&S do, if you have like a card or something, they discount your euros, so it's well worth doing that,
guys. Just a note on car hire. So again, went to France quite recently. I don't tend to hire a car myself, but our friends had hired one for us, and he had a good tip. Their flight, I was on a previous flight, met them at the airport, but their flight was delayed by 2 hours. They arrived to pick their car up, and the car hire people were like, oh, we've let it go because you've only got an hour window to pick the car up. My friend Stu was fine because he was like, I always know to pre-order the car for much later than when the flight arrives, because chances are you can pick it up early. But yeah, if you're late, they just give the car to somebody else and you have to wait for the car to be available, pay extra because you've missed your slot.
It's outrageous.
There are all these people absolutely fuming in their sort of enterprise car park, and Stu, because he had learned from experience, just kind of rocked up, got the car and went. I didn't realise that was a thing.
But could it go the other way, that their car wasn't ready for you?
Possibly, but I think more often than not, they'll have the cars.
And also, you're better off waiting an hour, is not the end of the world, better than losing it.
Yeah.
Gosh, I never knew that.
No, I didn't either.
Thank you for your tips. I feel well equipped to be travelling this summer. In the latest series of Pascal's hashtag millennial problems, she asked, why are we treating dogs like babies? She says that we are mollycoddling dogs of today and that we should be treating them more like animals. So, do we agree?
Well, this week we had a very special guest in the office, not the butler above. It was Polly's new puppy called Louis. I've never seen women get so excited. Everyone was cooing over him. So much so that he also made an appearance in the Sherlock Show Thursday. And we were all so excitable, weren't we? We were saying, I think bringing a dog into the office really cheers people up.
Oh God, yeah.
And that's like medically proven, isn't it? That people are happier when there is a dog to pet. Heather, what do you think? Do you think we are treating dogs too nicely these days? Are our pooches too pampered?
I don't have a dog. I'd love a dog. But I don't think they're too pampered. I think they're definitely more part of the family than maybe they were 30 years ago when they were still sort of sleeping outside and whatnot. But I mean, I think if I had a dog, I wouldn't be buying it the finest grub going and, you know, paying over the odds for organic, best tasting ever sort of stuff.
If you Google gluten-free dog food, there's 59 million search results.
I mean,
like, it's a real
thing. How do you know if your dog is gluten-free?
Well, I guess he's very bloated.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
I mean, I once saw a lovely pram and this owner was cooing over what I thought was a baby in the pram and went to kind of see what was so cute. And it was a dog.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So silly. Yeah. And I think sometimes people do go a bit too far.
Yeah.
Hair accessories included.
Yeah.
So you want to be buying like little doggy jackets?
No, absolutely not.
They're very expensive as well. There's a shop
dog
called...
Dog jackets?
Yeah, or anything. There's a shop called Bone Idol in Brighton that I've been past many a time.
Good name.
Everything in there is like even dog toys, like the sort of most rubbish sort of thing that will destroy in minutes are like £15. Mm. It can be an expensive business.
It definitely can. Becky?
I am guilty of talking to dogs like babies. Mm. I am. Like, I just do. Because Harry has two Labradors he looks after. Mm. But I also agree with the fact there is a line. And there is a retriever I know. And honestly, this is no joke. He only eats his food if it's got chicken stock in it. And it's like, what have you bought your dog? It's not a child, I know, but like, what are you doing? Yeah. That's such an expensive habit. So things like that. And also, I know dogs that have their own princess beds that I find unbearable. So yeah, I think there's a line, and I think it is about understanding what is just not acceptable, really.
Mm. I think it runs deeper than just being an issue in terms of like, all of these things are superficial issues.
Yeah.
But actually, I really agree with Pascal's piece that so many of dogs' behavioural issues are down to the way they are so pampered like that. I've got a friend who grew up in Zimbabwe, and he says that he can't believe how in like, you know, this bit of the Western world we treat our dogs, and the reason that we always have issues with them is because exactly that, they sleep inside and mm-hmm. you know, we treat them like they are part of the family. I know when my parents have had behavioural issues with their dog, exactly for those reasons, it's because, you know, he's given food off the table or because he's given too much attention, too much love. And actually those things can be really hard to undo if you get them into those habits, like with children, I guess, too early on.
Yeah,
you actually have to
be careful.
You do,
yeah, treat them like children.
We always thought that we would get a dog later this year, but actually we went away with some friends earlier in the year who, it wasn't even that young, the puppy was maybe like 6 months old, and it wasn't problematic. It really dictated the weekend. You know, we were in a nice hotel, and so dogs were allowed at the hotel but not in like the restaurant, so we would be going and having tea or breakfast or whatever, and they'd leave the dog with reception, and every 5 minutes they're like, so sorry, sir, to disturb you, but your dog's crying again. So sorry, your dog's crying again. Also, you know, we'd see them at breakfast. No. Oh, how are you guys? Oh, yeah, well, we were up. The dog needed a wee at 6:30 in the morning. Oh, and then he was barking at 7. And like, so the conclusion we came to is that when we're ready to have a baby, that's when we'll get a dog. Not because it's good practice, but just because, well, then you're ready to make those lifestyle adjustments anyway. Mm. Whereas at the moment, I like my sleep too much.
Yeah. I do also think at a older age as well, they can be such good companions. I think, you know, getting you out of the house, mm-hmm. going for a walk. I also think it's such a good opportunity to meet people when you're out and about with the dog as well. So if you are single and at a later stage of your life, then it's, I think, a really good opportunity to meet people.
Yeah, my grandma had a dog through to the age of 97, and it was an amazing companion for her. Yeah. She can't look after one anymore, but really, really good companionship.
Loyal.
Yeah,
there's a lot to be said for dogs.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe in that case, it's fine to Molly Coddle.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, bit of summer beauty time now. Becky, you just wrote a piece called 12 Beauty Hacks to Try This Summer. So if your makeup is looking a bit tired and in need of a shake-up, these are the easy hacks and savvy beauty swaps that will wake up your look. So tell us,
Thank you.
So yeah, I enjoy doing this because it's just a nice piece, and I think there's so many hacks you can get away with in summer. But my favourite one is actually at the top, because whenever you get a tan, I mean, I personally have had this, you always feel like you have to show off your favourite foundation because nothing really blends. But there's so many amazing customization drops now which you can get to customize your favourite foundation. So you can match your skin tone and you can match your tan, so nothing is compromised. And CoverFX do some of the best with a really broad shade range.
Okay, hang on. What we're looking at here is the image, and they look like dark tanning drops, I guess.
Exactly.
And what you add them into your foundation and it changes the colour of it.
It changes the pigment. So it just matches your colour or your current tan. It just adapts to your skin rather than you having to show off your favourite foundation.
That is so clever.
I think it's clever because it's something I am always like, ooh, I really want to still wear my favourite foundation, but I can't because it's too pale. So it's just a nice way.
And so what is the difference between, okay, so for example, I have two different shades of my favourite foundation.
Yeah.
Because one is for when I'm slightly more pale, one is for obviously when I'm a bit more tanned, but I don't love either of them. So can I take these and put them in my paler one to achieve a slightly different effect to my darker one? Is that what it will it will look a bit different to
exactly.
darker shade?
Okay. Yeah, exactly that. So that is what they are there for. And they're
and
really
it's reacting to your natural skin tone.
Reacting to your natural skin tone.
Because that's what I was going to say. Like, say, presumably you put some of that foundation on your hand and then add a drop and sort of mix it in. Because I was like, if you have to do that every morning to try and achieve the perfect shade, that would be hard.
It works and it blends. Oh. And if the CoverFX ones are too expensive, a brand called 3Inner also do them too.
Yeah. I also really like the products that the colour adjusts as you put it on your skin. So I think it's Origins Vitazing.
Yeah.
Comes out and it kind of looks silver and then you rub it in and then it kind of develops the colour to your skin tone.
Oh, yeah.
So which is also so nice because then you don't feel like you're changing. Like, I feel like my skin is a different colour every single day. So depending on if I've been in the sun or not, it's just whatever I wake
up with.
Exactly. So things like that are really good as well.
100%.
Great hack. I love that. Okay, what else?
I've put in that everybody should use a colour protecting shampoo because these are the kind of shampoos that mainly have UV absorbing filters. So your regular ones probably don't, unless you are looking for that in a bottle. But colour protection ones almost always do, so they're quite key.
Why do you need UV protection on your hair? Can your hair get damaged by sun rays?
Oh my god, completely. It will frazzle them. I mean, one thing I would say is sun definitely benefits your hair with growth, but it gets so damaged from it and you wouldn't always notice it. And also your scalp, like, it's good to kind of just have that seal, even if it's, I mean, you need SPF on there anyway, really, ideally, or a hat.
I just don't understand how you put sun cream on your scalp.
You get like,
so do I.
Sorry, Charlotte just put her hand
I did put my hand up because Rosie actually introduced me to a product last year which I swear by.
Same.
So Malibu, which you can buy in Superdrug, do a little spray. It's £3.99. It's a clear spray. It's not sticky at all. It smells incredible. And it's specifically for your scalp, and you just spray it down the middle
but
of your scalp.
But does it make your hair then greasy and wet?
First of all, no, not at all. It's not sun cream, like, it's more of a mist.
Okay.
I personally would be using it only if I'm spending the day on the beach, so I'd be washing my hair at the end of the day anyway.
Okay, fine.
I tend to wash my hair most days on holiday, but it's the old protection, is it? Did you use it last summer?
Yeah, I did when I went to America because I've got a sort of centre parting, so, and I just burn at the sight of any bit of sun. So often I, you know, really looked after my face and my arms and don't get burnt. And then the next day I'm brushing my hair like, oh, what the hell's happened?
And then I peel.
Bright red light, and then it looks like you've got dandruff.
Which I do not.
Which I don't. I got burnt on my scalp. I also got excited because, Rosie also introduced me to that last year, and it was a lifesaver.
I actually went and picked one up the other day. I was thinking
I think they're pretty key, to be honest, because I mean, I'm guilty of it. I've burnt my scalp, but there is a lot on the market out there that is specifically protective for your scalp, so it's worth investing in.
Also, I love that it's a really small little bottle, because actually you could just throw it in your handbag.
Exactly.
So if you are doing drinks outside or something, you're not caught off guard.
I mean, most people wear hats, but if you're not a hat lover, or if you just want to get your hair out,
I actually don't wear a hat on the beach that much because it makes me all hot and sweaty.
Completely agree.
Okay, fab. What else?
So I also have put in erasing tanning mistakes, because experts all agree that mixing a paste of baking soda and water works to get rid of sort of little patches of tan you want to get rid of. But also, I don't know if anyone else tried it here, but Jules Von Hepp's Isle of Paradise Over Eraser is amazing for getting rid of stubborn patches.
And how does it work?
So you literally just spritz it on and use your scrubbing mitt just to get rid of it, and it really does work.
So I use the Bondi Sands Tan Eraser as well, which I love. It's like a foam.
Great.
It's not really for like disasters, it's more for when you're at the end. Like like this right now. So what I have, where it's time to get off the remnants, and you just put it on, you leave it for 5 minutes, get in the shower, wash it off, and it literally disappears. It's incredible.
So if you're just getting rid of a patch, does that then mean that you have to redo that patch because it's got rid of everything?
I mean, yeah, that's kind of the experience I've had with it. But you could go lightly. You're probably better off using the baking soda trick if you wanted to choose a teeny patch, because when you spray the Isle of Paradise one, it comes out quite a bit. Naturally.
I feel like the worst patches that people get is like hands and feet. And I always will moisturise my hands and feet first and then put something on top of it. So it's kind of whatever it happens.
There's a layer of protection.
Yeah. I also use a lighter tan on my hands than I do on the rest of my body. I use quite a dark one and I go for like a lighter colour because it's a good way to avoid those patches. Okay, one more.
And then another one I absolutely loved is that you can get clever with your ice cubes by putting aloe vera gel into the trays to treat sunburn. I thought you'd all quite like that. Because I...
Just don't forget that you've got aloe vera and put it in your coat.
But it's so...
What do you do with the ice cubes? You mean just rub them on your body?
So you just rub them on your burn patches. And I think it's proven to take down inflammation. I mean, look, your burn's probably still going to be there, but I think any redness will just be taken down.
And aloe vera is so nice.
So nice. And also, it's just a nice thing to do, even if you're just hot and sticky. Very good for heat rash.
Yes.
But yeah, so that's a super easy hack. And if I burn this summer, which I won't, because I'm a beauty editor, I would try that 100%.
Okay, good.
Completely.
Thanks. Final word on that. What is your favourite sun cream? You could only buy one ever again.
Do you know what? The Institut Esthederm is one of the best ones I've ever used in my life.
But that's Spenny.
It's Spenny. Mm. But also, Clarins have launched a whole new SPF range, which is completely recyclable packaging. And it's incredible. Their formulas are like cream to gel. So they completely sink into your skin. It's weightless. And you can't even see it. It's amazing. So actually, yeah, one of those. Clarins has taken over.
Heard it here first. Let's end by talking about some fashion. I think we have to give a shout out to Needle and Thread, who we ran a story for this week to celebrate their latest collection. And oh my God.
Oh my God, it's so good.
This is heaven,
right? Lou, fan of the brand?
Such a fan. Charlotte always sees me because often I get really excited, obviously about the product, but also about the way that the product is shopped. It's so beautiful. It's kind of very romantic, ethereal, feminine, beautiful, kind of everything you want in an occasion dress, if that's your style. But lots of bows and iridescent details. It's gorgeous.
It is. There's something kind of Disney princess-esque about this collection, isn't it? Heather, you were just saying you thought it was amazing.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I was just looking at them and they're quite pricey, but they're not for what they are at all. I was really surprised. And actually, if I was getting married, I'd very happily wear one of their £350 dresses.
I was just
feel incredible.
That. They actually, I don't know if we've got that many in this feature, but they do have a bridal range, which are a bit more expensive, but still under £1,000. But additionally, they have white dresses that don't sit in their bridal range that are also around that £350 mark. So yeah, if you are getting married and looking for a cheaper, and actually we do have a piece that ran on site this week about wedding dresses under £1,000. And Needle and Thread, definitely a key contender there.
Yeah, because that gorgeous scarlet that sequin cape gown, you could easily wear as a wedding dress. Yeah.
Also, if you aren't into dresses, they've also got some really beautiful separates. There's an amazing sequin skirt, which I've definitely got my eye on. And also some really lovely knitwear, which isn't something that you would automatically associate with Needle and Thread.
Yes, completely agree. And also, they've got all these gorgeous sparkly pieces, but actually, they're introducing a lot more florals into the collection as well. So it doesn't have to be that super kind of glitzy look, if that's not for you.
I'm into it. I love it.
Let's finish by talking about tailored shorts. I feel like these have never been more everywhere than they are now.
Yeah, on the show this week, we have got a new section called Style Watch, and one of the looks was a oversized blazer, some short tailored shorts, and the infamous chunky Chanel sandals. There's a lot of talk about wearing short shorts and how you can balance them and making it feel work appropriate and not too out there. And there's some really good pieces.
There really are. I think balancing out your proportions was the key takeaway from that discussion. So wearing something a bit more oversized on top. And actually, there's loads of short suits around at the moment, which lends itself very well to that because you can just buy the blazer, buy the shorts. Stories in particular have some great sets. But I just love that this is a slightly more summery alternative to a suit. So Reese is another great example. They've kind of taken their classic suit shape. And they do this year after year, don't they?
Exactly.
And pair it with shorts. So that pink one is just gorgeous. But also, I think they're now so wearable for every day. You can can, you know, you can add a t-shirts and trainers to these looks, and they're kind of a smart alternative to tapered trousers, really. Yeah. Becky, would you wear the look?
I 100% would wear the look. I'm known for my very short, stubby legs, but I feel like even I could get away with
short. No, I am.
But I feel like they could suit someone who is a bit shorter on the legs still, because they're some are high-waisted. So I'm into that.
I have really a pair from Mango that are high-waisted, and they're a bit longer. Some of these are short, but some of them are long, a bit more Bermuda style. And as long as you wear them with heels.
I really would like to try the
top. I think automatically sometimes when people think tailored shorts, you do think shorter shorts. And actually, that kind of longer to the knee, almost slightly culotte-esque, is so flattering and definitely a look that people can play around with.
Yeah.
Heather, I'm sure you'd wear them with tights, but convince you to break your legs out in a pair?
Yeah, I think the ones that Lou just described, I definitely wouldn't be wearing any sort of thigh-grazing ones, but definitely some longer, slightly baggier, high-waisted ones. Yeah. If I could find the right ones, I'd wear them all summer, to be honest.
Yeah.
Lou, any favourites from Florida?
Oh, there are so many, actually. I also love the ones with, like, a slightly paper bag waist, and they've got that tie detail around. Arket have got some really lovely styles. And H&M is always a go-to on the high street for me.
I completely agree. There are some really great styles to be found on the high street, as well as more expensive brands. I think that's just about it for this week. We would love to hear not only your feedback on the podcast, but any questions you may have for the team. So whether that's a fashion query, a burning beauty question for Becky, or if you want a recommendation for somewhere fab to go from Heather, do send us in your questions to podcast@sheerlux.com, and we will happily answer them for you on next week's podcast. Also, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.